You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Join the Cleveland Browns in Columbus for the Orange and Brown scrimmage on Friday, August the 7th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Ohio Stadium, a shrine to Matt Wilhelm.
It's going to be awesome.
It is going to be awesome.
My question is, the same way we created an over-under for Duke Johnson, I want to know, let's work on in the coming weeks, an over-under on attendance.
Attendance?
Yeah. Because 26,000 showed up to InfoCision Stadium. 99,000 showed up to the Ohio State spring game.
I'm going to put it over-under at 50.
Okay.
That's my initial number, 50,000.
All right, I was going to go with 45.
Okay.
Which I think is a better number than 50.
Why?
Because that 5,000 is going to be the difference.
Yeah, but to me, 50 is like half of what the Buckeyes drew.
Yeah. And you got to figure.
And it's what, double Akron.
67,000 show up at First Energy every Sunday. We'll see.
We will see. So that's Friday, August 7th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Ohio Stadium, including pre-scrimmage festivities. Get your free tickets to this Browns
free
inter-squad scrimmage. They're free willy
free
for
willies.
You. Beginning Monday, June 22nd at 10 a.m. on ClevelandBrowns.com or the Browns mobile app. That's June 22nd at 10 a.m.
I have done my very best to finagle that for you fans. See, I'll receive a free willy if you can come to the scrimmage.
You talked to the people at Ohio State. You said, listen, they're coming into my stadium.
Yes.
As if
it's free.
If it's free willy style.
Show up in numbers.
All right. One man who will not be giving out anything for free. These players are going to have to earn it at training camp in the preseason. Is the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine. He addressed the media following today's practice.
What about final thoughts as the guys depart? What's the final message for them?
Yeah, as always, we just talk about anytime we're leaving for a period of time. Being safe, being smart, knowing that they represent, who they represent. It's beyond them and beyond, the family. It's the team. So, but also the message was a positive one. I mean, we felt that we accomplished a lot this spring. Just very proud of the effort, the buy-in. Offensively, we had a lot of ground to cover. Defensively, we had a lot of ground. They were kind of on different agendas, but I thought the coaching staff handled it well. It was very, very organized. There wasn't a lot of wasted meeting time, wasted time on the field. So it's big for us now. We feel good about where we are, but we're just very early in the progression towards this season. And it's got to continue. We got to really pick up where we left off when we get to training camp. What I don't want is guys to go away and have a lot of the stuff slip, whether it's their conditioning or whether it's their grasp on the playbook. And now we're playing. We got to retrace some steps. Training camp that we want to be able to just pick it right up, and I'm hopeful that'll be the case, and I'd be surprised if it wasn't. I think we have a very mature, very professional group that's handled their business well so far. 2015, there's no reason to think that they won't in late July.
Mike, how more comfortable are you as a head coach now than you were at this point 1 year ago?
Much more, just because you go through it a second time. Answers, the cliche answers to the test. I mean, the first year of anything, you're just kind of feeling your way. All the experiences are new. You've gone through it as an assistant before. You've seen other people go through it. But when you actually do it yourself and understand the schedule and the demands of the job and the diverse personalities you're dealing with and, budgeting time and what's important, what's not, and looking back, that I learned a lot of valuable lessons in year one and have been able to apply them in year two. So, I think that's not just me, but that's the support staff, that's the coaching staff, that's the players as well. Just anytime you have continuity and you know what the expectations are, things tend to run a lot smoother.
Mike, a year ago at this time, you had Manziel and all the national media and all the stuff swirling around minicamps and so on. It seems like it's a different situation here. Does that matter at all in any way, you think?
No, because our focus, as it always is what's going on the field. I can't lie and say I miss that.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
And it was a good learning experience for us as a team, as an organization. But I mean, that's a chapter that's in a book that's closed for us. That we're on 2015. We think, and we have we have goals that we want to accomplish, and we feel we're where we need to be in the progression, but know that we have a long way to go.
Do you know if Josh McCown or Johnny Manziel will be sticking around here with any receivers throughout this next 6 weeks, or will they scatter?
I think it's mixed. I don't think there's anybody that's just going to be here the whole time. Some of the injured guys I know have a plan. Building-wise, I know that we take a little bit of break right at the 4th of July. It gets shut down. So it's mixed. There's some guys that'll be back and forth. But, it's a trust thing. We wanted to make sure that they left with the information that they needed when they have to be back, and what the expectations are when they come back. But they have their books. They have their video. So, it'll be on them to take that next step when no one's looking.
Especially in the case of Johnny, would you like to see him kind of stick around town?
No, I've said it before. I'm not going to micromanage our guys. That this break is well deserved, and wherever they choose to spend it, that they feel will benefit them the most, then so be it.
Mike, are there a couple guys that maybe aren't high profile guys who kind of stuck out the last few weeks going through these things in your mind?
Well, the guy I've talked about was K'Wan Williams, had a real good spring for us. Taylor Gabriel is another guy that's handled himself real well. That he was a guy that was essentially a undrafted free agent a year ago and played, I think, overachieved from what we thought we were going to get from him last year. And then he's taken that next step. I mean, he's among our better receivers out there. There's a trust factor with the quarterbacks. And if you ask the defensive guys who's difficult to cover, his name usually pops up in the first one or two names.
Mike, I think it was at the Fan Fest. Ray was talking about the roster and how he thinks you guys have built it. I don't know if it's 22 to 43 or whatever numbers he mentioned. Do you agree with that? And how do you think that's shown up?
Well, that's always the goal. When you can kind of churn the bottom of the roster and bring in guys in that can compete, that there's no complacency. The less complacency you have with guys think that they're slotted in, the better. I mean, there's no better motivation than competition. And I think that's how you get better, and that's how you generate depth. When those decisions are tough on those last handful of spots of the roster, you know you're building it the right way.
You also need the superstars at the top five. I think when outsiders rank the roster, it's middle of the pack. And that might be because there's no proven quarterback and maybe no number one receiver. I mean, is that an area that you're concerned about, or do you feel you need to grow in?
I'm not concerned with how our roster is ranked outside of this building.
Pierre Desir kind of came on at the end of the last season, the last couple games. Mm-hmm. And I think you guys are always talking about secondary guys taking a jump from year one to two. What have you seen in him?
That he's progressed as we would expect, given his work ethic, how he approaches it, and he's had some good days this spring. That he's knew there were some technical things to work on, and that he was a good example of a guy that got with his coaches and, hey, these are the things you need to improve on, and that he's attacked those every day.
Where do you see him fitting in, like in sub packages? What do you think?
What we do know at the very minimum is he's a good matchup guy. I think he'll match up well against certain types of receivers. Anytime you're a higher cut, longer corner, he might not be the ideal matchup for a Hawk or for a Gabe, but for Dwayne Bowe, for instance, or some of those higher, just the bigger, the taller, higher cut receivers that he's a good matchup for. You can get his hands on, especially guys that play the X position that are on the line of scrimmage that can't move pre-snap. It's much easier to press a guy that's on the line. And we feel he'll also be a good matchup against some of the more athletic tight ends of the league. So in practice, you'll see him against a Hausler some in certain packages, but that would be a good matchup for us as well. So we're encouraged by his progress. And he is one of the guys that's taken a pretty good leap from one to two.
Where is he, like, on, with Gilbert? Is one guy...
No, to me they're different players, and from a sorting out standpoint, I'm not going to sit here and rank those guys. The one thing about that room that we're most impressed with is the depth. I mean, that we go 7-8 deep in that room, guys that we feel are quality, that could make an NFL roster. They're quality NFL corners.
Given the numbers you now have on defensive line, if those guys could stay healthy. Is there any inclination to play more natural four-man line, even on running downs or not?
Well, playing with playing Armani at our rush outside backer spot, and even a Scott Solomon, who to me is more D lineman than outside linebacker. In a sense, we are doing that, but there will be times when if we want to go, we could go real big. You put Kitch and Shelton out there in the middle, and then you can kick a Dez out to be more of an end. And so there are times when we're schematically we are 4-3. We say we're 3-4, but that's not. We're more 3.5, 3.5 the way we do it. It's very fluid.
2-5 at times last
year.
Yeah,
true.
Mike, what have you thought of Hartline and Bo that you had a chance to see them now?
Veteran guys that came in, and we knew a lot about them, people that have worked with them before, and they were what we thought they would be, but very professional, like how they approach the game, how they take care of themselves, and the positive effect they have on the guys around them, the other guys in the room. And they've both shown, and I've said this already, they've both shown throughout the spring why we brought them here.
Who's your best tight end?
That's a tough answer, because we have the Y and the F, so we really have two different types of tight ends. The Y is more the on the ball blocker type, where that's Jim and Gary. The F is more of a move type, off the ball, more of a wing. You can flex him out some. That's more Rob. Gary is kind of a tweener. He can do both. We just like the depth in that room, that we have three guys that each of them have. There's not identical skill sets there, that there's some overlap. Gary, like I said, it's kind of both. Jim's more towards the ideal Y, and Rob's more the ideal F. So we just like the receiver room that I've talked about, running all those skill position rooms. You like to have diversity of skill set to allow you to do some different things, so you're not one-dimensional. And that's one of the things that we've been so pleased with, how we've been able to develop the roster this offseason.
Do you think you can get the production? Now, this is a hard question, because Cameron was hurt so much last year. But can you get the production from that group when you lose a guy like Cameron from the tight end position? Or is it the way the offense is going to be set up, because you won't need it?
Well, defenses can dictate where the football ends up going, and we want to build a roster that they can't take away everything. And if they're giving us the tight end that week, then we have to be able to take advantage of it. If they're giving us the backs out of the backfield and dropping deep into coverage and we can check it down or throw screens, then we need to be able to do that. If they're crowding the line of scrimmage and giving us press coverage on the outside and we got to win one-on-one out there, we got to do it. When you're effective on offense, you have all those answers, because as a defensive coach, you look at it. What can we force them to do that they don't do well? And you have to be well-rounded as an offense to take advantage of what a team's giving you. So we're confident in that room even chance of prospects of getting Telfer back down the road. The Bibbs kids had a real good spring for us. He's kind of come out of nowhere. So we feel that we have some depth in the room and some future depth in that room as well that we're very pleased with.
Mike, Jim O'Neill raved about Scott Solomon today. So from your perspective, what has he been able to do in a short time to really impress the coaching staff?
I think his approach, his mentality, his physicality is something that he brings. Now, sometimes in the spring, we've had to tone him back a little bit. He doesn't – him in playing in shorts isn't necessarily a very good matchup. He's a very physical, hands-on guy. And that's a good example to set. But when you have guys that can set edges and are thumpers on the edges of your defense and can get that ball turned back in, or at least get it bubbled back and force the running back deeper to allow secondary guys to get there, then that's where your effectiveness will be in stopping the run.
So he's been in the league for a few years and bounced around a little bit, hasn't ever started. Do you think he's just a guy who got lost in the shuffle, or can you explain?
Yeah, some guys bloom late. Some guys don't fit in certain schemes. His skill set and mentality, and we talk about play like a Brown. I mean, he's a good fit for us. We're looking forward. In the brief time he was out there last fall, he was productive, and that was without an off season, without a training camp. That we just kind of he showed up, and we and that's always tough when you bring in a guy midstream that he doesn't have a chance to build the foundation with you. Now that he has, that's why we're even more encouraged with Scott, and that's I'm sure that's why. Jim's so optimistic.
All right, that was the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, getting into a lot of specifics about some players, singling out Kaywan Williams, Taylor Gabriel, also Pierre Desir is having a very, very good offseason for this team. A lot to be encouraged about as the young players continue to develop from year one to year two for the Cleveland Browns. When we come back, we want your reaction to what we have heard from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, 216-578-0850, and we'll also hear from Browns defensive lineman Randy Stark. Still to come, the Jort Report. We'll hear from Josh McCown. We'll go around the league. Lots to get to here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.